Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am your host, one of your hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife, Kwajalein, on the line.
Hello, hello.
Well, hello, everybody, and Happy New Year. I know we're 2 weeks into the new year, but we just wanted to say thank you all for listening in to our streamers. And for our callers that are getting ready to call in, please make sure when you call in, right, that you call in, and if you're new, make sure you identify yourself. But we're going to go ahead and move on into the topic for discussion on tonight for our Free Flow Friday. How far is too far? Oftentimes, Christian parents struggle with finding balance when raising their children. Although they are being raised in a Christian environment, many parents fear that their children will feel left out when they are with other children. As a result, these parents will allow children to participate in activities that may seem unacceptable within the Christian community. On the other hand, some parents choose a stricter approach as they fear their children will turn away from Christianity if they associate with children who do not practice Christianity. How do parents find a balance? How far is too far? Is it impossible to be turn children away from the faith by being too strict? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight. Today is Friday the 13th, and the time now is 8:03 p.m. And we just look forward to hearing all of the callers calling in and just chiming in on tonight with the conversation. Streamers, if you're listening and you're interested in calling in, please feel free to call us in at 657-383-1571. Again, that number is 657-383-1571. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. We don't have any callers calling in yet, but I'm sure our streamers are looking forward to hearing what we have to talk about tonight. And again, if you feel the need to call in because you have something that you would like to say, remember it's our Free Flow Friday. All right, so there's not necessarily a wrong answer other than the fact of, you know, us speaking against the Word of God, which we will not do on the broadcast because we are a Christian-based broadcast. So we just look forward to you all calling in and just joining in on the conversation. Let's just have fun and talk about this. I mean, I think this is something that, you know, oftentimes Christian parents, they don't really want to talk about. They feel embarrassed talking about it, or they overlook it, and then they just don't even think about it. But as for me as a parent, I feel it's very important, you know, that if we remember that our children, we are in this world, but we're not of the world. And that's the one thing that we have to remember hands down, we have to remember that. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying necessarily to compromise and allow your children to just bring all of that stuff into the house, you know, all of this nasty R&B and this explicit hip-hop music that they're creating these days and age. But at the same time, you know, you have to understand your children are going to be exposed to it. But you can keep your home as well as, your home and what's going on out in the world, you can keep your children in an environment to where they know that when they come home, home is sacred ground. This is, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do in here. Now, you're not going to bring that filth in here. You're not going to listen to that type of stuff in here, especially if it's explicit and it's degrading women and it's downing women and it's talking about glamorizing the action of selling drugs and you know, promiscuous sex, things of that nature, and you know, all of this other stuff. Now, that's totally against, you know, what we as Christians believe in listening to. Now, we should definitely protect our children as far as, you know, what they're being exposed to. But being in the world, being in this world here, we're exposed to all types of sin, all types of things that we can come in contact. There are many things that, you know, that were very, very frowned upon back in the day, but now it's acceptable. So now, you know, this day and age is pretty much we live in the anything goes age. But as Christian parents, you know, you have to understand and just be willing to make sure that you're raising your kids according to biblical principles. Because the Bible says, train up a child in which the way they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from it. So we have our first caller calling in on tonight, and we're going to bring our first caller in. 4620, ending in 4620. Are you on the air?
Good evening. How's everyone?
We're great, Ms. Faye. How you doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm kind of stopped up, but I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
All right. Well, we believe in that congestion is going to go away in Jesus' name. We believe you're going to be cleared up by the end of this call.
Then I'm receiving that.
You took some Mucinex. Mucinex is good.
What did I take?
Oh,
here it is. The Claritin.
Oh, okay, so you got allergies, yeah. Good. Well, I do hope you feel better. It's like Kenny said. It's good to be back on the air. We are tonight we're talking about... Huh?
I said it's good to be back. I missed you guys.
Yes, we miss y'all too. We've been gone for a month. And tonight we're talking about how far is too far. We're just talking about, you know, the struggle with being a Christian parent and trying to raise your kids, you know, in the Christian faith. But at the same time, you know, some parents are too tough. Some parents, you know. So how do we find a balance? That's pretty much what we're talking about. You know, how do we find a you said you can't, what you said?
I said, I need help in this.
No, yeah, we do too.
I need
help. That's why we're talking about it.
I mean, we all need help.
We all need help. Kenny and I were... They are a different breed, and that, you know, this is a different world we live in. And so Kenny and I were talking about it earlier, you know, because you don't want to. Well, I know some parents, you know, they're very strict, like, you know, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, you're not going to do this. And so you want to maintain the standard, you want to maintain discipline, you know, all of that. But at the same time, you know, sometimes that being too strict can cause kids to, you know, when they get a chance, to just wild out, you know. So Kenny and I were talking earlier, and, you know, when we were growing up, we could listen to R&B and hip-hop, and, you know, they had some okay R&B and hip-hop music and stuff back then. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, we had the Keith Sweat and stuff like that. But, you know, you still had some songs that went all real just raunchy and, you know. I don't know what's out there today, but from what Kenny says, most of it is just, yeah, off the chain. Because we were talking about, you know, Jeremiah's getting ready to go to middle school and just kind of, you know, backing off on some things a little bit and allowing him to grow up or whatever. And, you know, and he was just saying that everything is just all the music, most of it anyway, not necessarily all, but, you know, a majority of it is just, I don't know, inappropriate. So what do you do when you know, you're Christian parents and you're trying to raise your kids in the faith, but at the same time, you don't want your kids to feel like they're so isolated and ostracized, you know, from everybody else. And so, you know, what do we do? How do we find the balance? Is it okay to let them listen to a little this, a little that? Is it okay? You know, so what do we do? Some parents feel like it is. Some feel like, you know, it's not. Me, I feel like, you know, some things kids are going to do. That's, you know, that's just what it is. We can't stop everything. You don't want them to be too sheltered. I don't think. This is, of course, my personal opinion. You don't want them to be too sheltered. We train them up in the word, and what we desire is to train them up and for them to make a choice to continue to go that way. We don't want it to be, you know, for them to feel like, well, all their lives, like, this was forced on me. We want to guide them. That's what we want to do. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. You live in my house. You're 10 years old. You're going to church. I'm just saying at the same time, we want to be teachers and leaders and guiders. And so, you know, where do we find, I guess, how do we find the balance in doing that, but, you know, still allow them to have a little freedom and experience some things? Do you have any opinion on that, Ms. Faye?
Well, right now, Daylon is getting ready to turn 16 years old in April. And I've always told her, because, you know, I sit and I talk to her, and I talk to her honestly and open, and I want her to, you know, be the same with me. And my thing is, I don't want to be one of them old-fashioned grandmamas where you can't never go anywhere and you can't never do nothing because of what you just said. When they get that break, they'll sneak and do this and sneak and do that. I don't want that to happen with her, so I don't want to shelter her. So I did tell her when she turned 16 years old, she could begin to talk to boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that you might want to call it dating or whatever. I say, but it's not really dating to me because you still have to stay focused on your schoolwork. And the little boy can come to the house and, you know, you sit in the den and do, you know, watch TV or listen to some music or whatever. But you're not. I don't really call it officially dated. I guess with her and with the other two, I have to be very careful. Then I work, you know, with their mother raising, because it was a whole different way of raising my children. And he wanted to know if she could go to the movies or go eat dinner. I said, well, we'll all go to the movies and we'll all go eat dinner.
Right. A chaperone.
Yep. I say, because I got to tell you, know, because I want her to understand, you got to earn my trust. You know, you got to put it out there where I can trust you. Because right now, I have to be honest with you. I don't trust you at all. Not that she have done anything, but this just coming in a different era in her life now. Because these little boys can be saying any little sweet thing in your ear, and you fall for it, and I don't need that to happen. So I try to keep her grounded. And I let her know that her number one focus is school. You know, doing good in school, and that she is doing. But it's so ironic that there was a little boy that she met over the Christmas holidays. And she said, see, Grandma, y'all trying to get me to talk to him, and you told me I wasn't dating. So if he asked me to go out, what I need to say. I said, tell them you ain't dating. And everybody in the room just fell out laughing because I meant that you're not dating. I don't have no problem with you talking to him, but you're not dating. So, you know, and then when it comes to the music, it's certain kind of music that I want them to listen to. I don't want them listening to that rap music with all that cursing and all that stuff. And I don't want them listening to that. And I also have to tell them, you know, you got to choose the people that you hang with. I can't pick your friends for you. You can do that, but I can guide you to the friends that you need to hang out with, because you can't hang out with everybody. And you know, I find it being really hard because it's just me with them. It's just really hard, but you know, I just do my best, and any advice that I can get to help me along the way, I definitely appreciate it.
So, look, we're looking for advice from you. Yes, ma'am. So you said before you allow her to date, you have to, she has to gain your trust. So what would you say she would have to do to gain your trust?
You know, I want you to be honest with me about what you're doing, how you're doing it. You need to tell me those things. You need to just be totally honest with me. And not just me just giving you what I need you to do, but just talk to me at what you're expecting me to accept from you. I need to hear from you as well, and I tell her that. And Davon is still silly, you know. He don't have that mind right now, but it's, you know, that mature mind. And sometimes I believe she be lying. Like the day I told her, I said, I believe you're lying, but I'm going to let you have this one. I said, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to come up to the school Monday to see, because she said, could she stay after school, make a test, and could I pick her up at 4 o'clock? Okay, all of a sudden, now you got to stay after school to take a test. You didn't say nothing about this whole, I don't believe that, but, and she said, well, Grandmama, I'm mad now because you're not trusting me. It's not that I don't trust you. You ain't slick. I keep telling you, you know, I have to let them know they're not slicker than me. So don't be trying to get over on them. Because I know they be thinking they can, and they do sometimes. Let me sit in this den and fall asleep. Ain't no telling what them girls doing on the phone or whatever. But I know they're not perfect. And that's the key. I do know that they're not perfect, and they're going to make mistakes. But just mistakes that I can help them prevent from making, I want to be able to do that. So,
right.
One, I don't know.
When you just feel it. And it is,
you know,
it's
I
so tough.
All to help me. It is.
Right.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is tough, especially with this generation, because they are so different, you know, and it is like what worked with us, some of those things just don't work with them. And so you have,
the key to you and Kenny is that you guys are there, a man and a woman, mother and father of those children. That's the plus that you have on your end. And especially raising those sons, you got your husband there to help you do that. But I also feel that even with girls, they need that father figure to show them how a man is supposed to treat a woman. And that I don't have. But I can only tell them the way that man it should be treating you. You know, that's all I can do. I'm not a man where I can just show them this is what a man's supposed to do and this is how it's supposed to do, but I can only say it. But I still feel that they do need that father figure that they don't have.
I agree. I agree that the father figure does make a difference. I completely agree. I agree with that. And you're right. It's you can tell them, but it's different for them to see it, for it to be displayed,
exactly.
For it to, for them to see it in real time. And it does. It does make a difference. And I can even tell that with my kids because they do. The boys they do follow after Kenny and a lot of things. I mean, things Kenny don't even realize, even though he teaches them and trains them. You know, but there's some things they just pick up from just watching him. And when he's not around, you know, they do these things. They open a door. They, you know, Jeremiah's, Mama, I'll get that for you. I'll get, you know, so you don't have to lift it. And because these are the things that he see, you know, he sees his dad does. So, and then when Kenny's not around, he will take that, he will, you know, kind of step up. I'm not trying to say take the role of his dad, but you know what I'm trying to say. He'll step up a little bit. Uh-huh. And try to do those things that Kenny does. And then, of course, Jared's watching both of them, Jeremiah even more so. And so then he tries to imitate as well. So, yeah, it does. It makes a difference. And then Mariah, of course, she just, well, yeah.
And then being a parent to a child, You also gotta be that example for that child.
Mm-hmm.
In a positive way. You gotta show that child what's right and what's wrong. You can't just sit up and do everything in front of that child. You can't just have everyone around that child. As a woman, and I'm gonna speak as myself as a woman, I'm not dating, you guys know that, but I have asked God to send that king to me, and I'm not dating, and I don't want guys around my girls because I don't want my girls to ever feel like it's okay to be with this man and that man because it's not okay to do that.
Right.
And they see that in me, and they finally even told me now, Grandma, I wish you'll start dating.
Well, that's good.
That's a plus. Yeah, that's a plus because they always said that one. They were acting like I was their child.
Yeah, I think I remember us talking about it at one point. Yeah, and that's true. We do. We have to be the leaders. And it is. It's hard when you're trying to, I guess sometimes it feels like a battle, you know, when you're trying to raise your kids one way, and then, you know, then we send them out into the world every day because that's what we do. We send them out into the world every day, and then they are, you know, exposed to other things. And like Jeremiah, you know, he struggles. He struggles sometimes because, you know, he's asked me before, like, Mom, when you were growing up, did you feel, you know, different because, you know, because you go to church and all your friends don't or whatever? But see, I was around, well, not necessarily in school, but the church that I grew up in, we had, you know, other kids. We had a lot of other kids. And so I guess I had that on the weekends, but then, you know, during the week, I did have some friends, you know, they went to church and stuff. But him, he, like, has a lot of friends. You know, their parents don't go because, you know, back when we were growing up, a lot of families went to church. Even if the parents didn't go to church, the kids was in church. You know, they dropped the kids off. But now we've come away from that. So you have a lot of families that just don't go to church. And so, you know, we're raising him like that, and then he's around all these kids that don't. And when we had our church in Germany, like, they all had each other. They went to school together. They lived together. You know, so it was different. But now we're here, and a lot of these kids don't. And so then he struggles with feeling different because his friends don't go to church. But, you know, we always.
You know, what I find myself doing a lot with my girls, I encourage my girls to be leaders and not followers. Not that it always works, but I encourage them to do that. I you know, I also let them know, you know, people say a lot of things, but people don't know you. They can't speak on you. They can't call you this name. They can't call you that name because your name is Antiana, Christiana, and Davion. So always know who you are and stand your ground on who you are. No, I teach them that. I teach them from my point of view to be strong, the black women, to know that they can be anything that they want to be, and don't let people just come up and just say things to you to discourage you or make you feel less than who you are. I do instill that in them too, and that's what we have to continue to do with our children.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Keep telling them. Keep sowing it into them. Okay, we have some callers that have called in. Leanne, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling. I see Pastor Michelle is here and some other callers. I don't know the number, so I'll be calling those in a second. So I'm assuming all you guys are like on the phone or something.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know your line is open, so please feel free to join in whenever you get ready.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, Pastor Michelle.
Hi, Pastor Kwajalein. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I cannot complain. Hi, Pastor Kenny.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well, yeah.
That's good.
Your line is open. So we look forward to
yes,
what you
ma'am.
Have to say. And
yes, ma'am.
I'm going to see the other. I'm sure you know who the other two callers are. 3441, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, good evening. This is Adriana.
Hi, Adriana. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, thank you for calling in on tonight. This is our Free Flow Friday, so your line will be open. Please feel free to join in and give your opinion or, you know, give us some sound advice, you know, wisdom. So we would love to, you know, we look forward to hearing what you have to say on the topic tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yep. Next caller ending in 5285. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Tomasa. How are you?
Hi, Tomasa. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Pastor Kwajalein. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for calling in. And your line will be open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say on the topic tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So, hey, check it out. This is what I'm looking at, right? Being Christians, you know, a lot of times you have had parents that have been.
Say again.
Oh, let me kind of run y'all in on what's going on. All right, so the topic for tonight is how far is too far, and it's just talking about the struggles that Christian parents have with finding a balance on raising their kids. You know, although you're raising them in a Christian environment, well, and those Christian environments are, i.e., the home front and as well as church. But then we're talking about how our kids are being exposed to things when they're out in the community, and do you take the approach of being a strict parent because you're scared they're going to turn away from Christianity, or do you kind of give them that little balance, you know, I guess by age appropriateness, just to see, just to make sure that they're not, like, ostracized and they're not, like, social misfits? Because what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, you know, just from our child alone, our oldest son, Jeremiah, is that he go to school and they ask him, has he heard a Lil Uzi, a Lil Yachty, you know, these little artists. So, you know, me being the father that I am, I look these guys up to see who they are. I look at what kind of music they make, and they make some music that's really not conducive to what we're trying to do as Christian parents and raising our children in Christian value. Music today is totally different from what it used to be. You know, I remember we used to be able to go to, like, the skating rink, you know what I'm saying? And you know, our grandmama had us going to church on Sundays. But, you know, we used to be able to go to the skating rink, and you hear all this 95 South Tootsie Roll and Butterfly and all this other stuff. And it was okay because you was at the skating rink having a good time. You was enjoying yourself. But when you knew when you got out that skating rink, it was back to going to grandma's house. And if you're going to watch anything, she need to know what you're watching. She didn't allow you to listen to all that bibbity bop. That's what she used to call it, that bibbity bop stuff back in the day. She ain't let us listen to it in her house. And, you know, I think that's pretty reasonable. But nowadays, you know, as parents, you know, these kids are different. We live in a different age, and they're totally different. They're more computer savvy. They're more music savvy than what we used to be. And now, you know, they have that mumble rap era where you got that nobody know what them people saying but the beat type. So all the kids listening to it. But when you find out what the lyrics are, it's all of this craziness, discrediting a woman, discrediting a man, just all kinds of weird stuff. So you can't send your kids to the skating rink and put them on these noise-proof earmuffs where they can't hear stuff. Because, you know, they got to be able to get out and have fun and be children. But how far is too far? That's what we're trying to figure out. Where is the balance? How do you find the balance? So, callers, you're on the air. Everybody line is open. Please feel free to say what you want to say.
Everybody don't speak at once.
Oh, and I forgot to say, since everybody's called in, hey, we're glad to be back on broadcast, and we're glad that we have as many callers we have calling in tonight. And I just want to say Happy New Year. I know we, you know, 2 weeks into the new year, but right now it's still relatively a new year. So thank you all for calling in.
Amen. I'll say something, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadrant.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was growing up, my mom did not care whether or not we were fitting in with the world. I don't think that thought ever crossed her mind. We was in church like at least 3 to 4 days a week. If on some weeks in summertime, it was like, oh my God, we got to go to church again. But then it got to the point, like Pastor Carson said, with so many kids, when we did a shut-in, we did a youth shut-in, and we went on trips. We was in Virginia, so we went to King's Dominion, Busch Gardens. We went a lot of places. We didn't just sit. And so I don't think that we as children really cared until we got into our teenage years and started smelling ourselves, as our parents would say, that it really mattered. I think for me, because I was so sheltered, that when I got a sniff of the world, I sniffed it all the way in. And so, but the Bible is truth all by itself. It does say train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart. And so even if we go into the world, we have to believe that the word is truth, and so that we will be back. I found that a lot of my friends that I went to church with, everybody kind of went their own separate ways, but now looking at them, they're all saved. They're all in the church. You know, not all – 95% of them, they're all saved, they're in the church, and that's how they're raising their children. So I personally won't compromise with, but that's me. My children are a lot older than the kids nowadays. My youngest is 17. So if my children were being raised in this day and age, I don't know what I would say as far as now. But back when I was raising mine, I just, look, you're going to do what I say, do, and that's just what it is. And that's, you know, that's just how it was. So nowadays I do see a lot of the parents giving their children more leeway. And it is kind of sad when a child feels like they don't fit in, especially if they're in a church that they don't have many children in church. And then they go to school and they don't know what's going on in the school. So I do feel kind of bad for, you know, the children that go through that. We had a lot of kids. Our youth choir was 99. And so we, it was a lot of kids. And so we always felt family. And we ran into thousands. And, you know, I'd be like, you know, I would want to take him somewhere to do something because he doesn't have that privilege that he had in Germany when we were all tight-knit and everybody would spend a night, you know, go to Avengers Page's house. You know, all the kids would spend the night and we lived on top of each other. So even if they didn't spend the night, they can open up the door and be like, hey, and they're looking at each other. So we've lost so much with us leaving Germany and then, you know, coming back here. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. We did. And it is hard because, like, you know, like I said, back when we were growing up, it was easy to find kids that even if they didn't go to your church, they went to church, you know. Whether it was mama had them in church, grandma had them in church, still they went to church. But we really as a society, you know, not that we don't have people going to church, but I'm saying, you know, we see more and more people that are coming away from church, they're coming away from the Christian faith. You know, more and more people, they saying, you know, now I'm enlightened, I don't believe in Jesus and stuff. And so,
right. Yes,
you know, you're seeing a lot of this. And so then we, you know, our kids, they don't have what we had. You know, and sometimes, you know, even we go to job, well, I'm not working, but I have been on a job where I was the only saved one grown, and I felt out of, you know, I felt alone. You know, so
right.
I can imagine, you know, it even being, it's worse even with, you know, being a kid. But then you don't tell them, well, oh, you know, you can go and just, you know, if they're stealing, just go, you know, that you can go ahead and be friends with them. Just don't go with them when they steal. No, you don't, you know, that's not the right thing to do. So it's like, what are we doing? Kenny, today he made a very good point. He was saying that, you know, we have our kids and we're all just trying our best. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise our kids the best we can in this world, you know, this temporary world that we live in. And so for those of us that believe in the Christian faith, we have our kids, but then every day we're sending them, you know, to schools and stuff that have nothing to do with our faith. And, you know, we have, they're surrounded by other kids that have nothing to do with what we believe, you know, with that or whatever. And so it becomes like it's a battle for them. It's just a battle for them. So, you know, it's just like, what, you know, how do you do it? How do you make it okay? Hi, Keto. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Doing good. Go down by the way. Good to have you on tonight.
It's good to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. We've been off the air for, a month.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even gonna lie. I forgot, you know, until, I got out the shower and Jerry said something. And I'm like, oh, man, hurry up and call. So just glad to be here.
Yeah. I sent her a text. Well, your line is open. So, you know, we look forward to what you have to say. We're talking about, you know, trying to raise our children in the Christian faith and finding a balance with doing so, you know. That's what we're discussing right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's what I'm looking at, and here's my question to the callers on tonight. Now, I want to say it like this because I want you all to know that my wife and I are not necessarily saying compromise. We're just trying to make sure that everybody who has some input can input on it, because I'm sure there are many of us that have been at the point of where, well, like Pastor Michelle has older children. She has, her youngest is 17, you know, and Keo, you guys have older children too. You know, and some of us have young kids. I know Faye says she has a 16-year-old and she has younger kids as well. So we all have kids in different age groups, and we're all just trying to, you know, pretty much just get our kids, you know, get them raised, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father. We're trying to get them raised. But here's what I'm asking, right? Not only are our children being tried and tested against when it comes to friends and certain population of people, they're also being tested and tried with what they believe in the school system. You know, history and science would say that the world was born, or the world all came into existence from, you know, the Big Bang Theory, whereas our kids like, nah, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And you're like, hey, well, and then now your child is either going to have to compromise with their faith just a tad bit so they can get a good grade and say, you know what, the Big Bang Theory, and they have to do these projects and things of that nature. So do you all feel that in this day and age, it's either good to homeschool your children if you have this issue with that, with your children's faith being tested, or do you feel like they should go to a Christian academy?
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Free Flow Friday.
Come on in. Wow.
You know, I was told something today that kind of shocked me. And Pastor Juan, you know about Brooklyn, the young girl that was shot in the head.
Yes, ma'am.
Her auntie was telling me today that 2 weeks before this happened to her, they were sitting down, this one of the younger sisters in Brooklyn was having a conversation. And she said Brooklyn said to her, you know, said to them, and it was just an open conversation that they were having, that, you know, she don't believe that there's a God, although she believes there's a high power. But she didn't believe there's a God. And she said, and you know, Miss A, I find myself kind of getting upset with that, because I know how we have raised, you know, them, and for her to say that just messed with me. She said, but she told me, said, well, Auntie, you can't get mad with me because of how I'm feeling. And she say, now that Brooklyn has come along, and she was showing Brooklyn all the love that people have been showing her, and she said, don't you have something that you need to say when you do get back on your feet? She said, I sure do. And I guess I said that to say this. I don't know who has been talking to Brooklyn, you know, putting that stuff in her head that there wasn't a God. And people are entitled to believe whatever they want to, but I know there's a God in my life. And even though that happened with her, she still had to have some kind of faith of something that was holding on, because you already know what that baby went through. And she have a great testimony. And she told her auntie, she said, I sure do. She said, I know what I got to do. I know what I got to say. She said, I got to tell my story. So sometime, I'm not saying it's going to take this to bring people to grips that what other people say, or they don't believe, or this or that, in the way that you're raising your child, and then they get out and hear this kind of stuff, and then they start thinking another way. But in this case, you know, God is a good God, because he made a believer out of her. Whether she had that little bit of doubt or not, he made a believer in her. And I do feel that even if our kids go out and hear this and hear that, we as parents should be the stronghold and let our kids know what is what, and we're in this together. We should educate our children to the extent of knowing what's real and what's not real. And I know in a lot of people's minds, they might believe in who is he, Allah, and all that.
Allah.
But that's they're entitled to that because that's their right. But in my house, I have to teach my children my grandchildren what is right. So
right.
I just wanted to say that, and just to give that dad of Brooklyn, because she have a great testimony that she have to give, because God definitely showed her and made her a believer through this terrible time that she went through.
Right. See, I didn't know. Huh?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What'd you say, I was just going to say, I didn't know that part. I was going to tell, well, I also want to tell everybody about Brooklyn. For those of you who are on my Facebook page, you may have seen it. But Brooklyn, she's what, 21, right, Faye? 21, 22, 23, something like that? 22. Early 20s? 22.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at, Papa John's, I think? One of pizza places. Yeah, Papa John's. And so she was actually off. She was off work one day. But the week before, and Faye, if I'm telling anything wrong, please correct me, but from what I recall, that one of the delivery drivers was shot. So I think they had like 9 delivery drivers acquitted or something like that. But anyway, they called her in, and so she went to work. And so she went to work, and somebody called in for a pizza. They made a call, and she went, you know, to deliver the pizza, and she was shot 3 times. She was shot. She shot the head. Raul, was she shot? The head, neck.
Neck and cheek.
And the cheek.
Her cheek.
And she is, they're expecting her to make a full recovery. From what I read, she is doing great. She's doing great. And, you know, and that people have been praying for her. A lot of people. I mean, it was national, you know, people praying for her. And so, and in this society, we're seeing a lot of that where it's, you know, either no, there's no God, but there's a higher power, or, you know, we have the Most High, but Jesus is not, you know, that's the white man Jesus. He ain't my Jesus. You know, he ain't real, you know. So we're seeing a lot of that. Not that they didn't have it back then, you know, from what my mom said, what they used to say that then, but I think it's more so now because,
mm-hmm.
you know, with social media, all this stuff, like you can't, like we see it all the time. Kenny and I see it all the time, you know, Facebook, things like that. And Jeremiah has had a kid to approach him and tell him he was silly for believing in, you know, this fictitious God. And he's only 10 in 5th grade. You know, and like we told him, that's something that this child has learned from his parents. And I guess the sad thing about that is even if you've learned that, you know, you don't tell anybody, well, you crazy. Well, you know, they didn't train them not to do that. But then, of course, if they don't believe in God, then, I mean, what you know, I guess you don't really expect that. So, yeah, you're right. We do. We have to give them that solid foundation starting at home, and then we just, you know, just try to do the best we can, because that is, I don't recall seeing that much back then. But then again, I was little. But now, you know, you see a lot of it where kids have been raised in the church. I know I see it now. I don't know, like I said, I'm noticing it maybe because I'm grown, but I see it a lot where you see people say, well, I was raised like that, but now I'm enlightened. Now I know better, and, you know, now I know this, and not that they're just in a backslidden position. I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying what they, like, are denouncing the faith. They're completely like, you know, this just isn't it. And it is scary when you're raising your kids that way. You know, it's scary to me. Does anybody have anything to say? Please callers, even if this is your first time calling in, you
I
know,
do
this
have
is a safe
something
zone.
To say.
Go ahead.
This is Leandra. I agree with, you know, there's so much going on and there's so many ways to access kids and for people to get their other messages across to them, you know, and try to get, you know, kids to do all the things that are wrong, and they have to be protected, you know, and I understand that way where you have to protect your kids and keep praying for them. But I think that sometimes some kids are sheltered so much and that mom and dad are praying for me so much that they don't learn how to pray for themselves, and they begin to think, oh, nothing can happen to me, or maybe, you know, they're persuaded more easily to the side of, oh, okay, I'm enlightened, they're, you know, maybe Jesus doesn't exist, because they haven't really had anything happen to them where they've had to call on the name of Jesus for themselves. And because you've always been covered in that way. And sometimes they do have to go through something hard in order to know, okay, wait a minute, God did do this for me, rather than a situation a parent sees coming and they immediately, and they're praying it off and not even telling the child, you know. And sometimes it may be, okay, you know, I know this is getting ready to happen. I see this happening. You know what, let's start praying together, you know, and including the child. And giving them a way to see what is going on and how God is bringing them out, rather than going before God for them and the child not even knowing. Because then they get to a point where, okay, well, my parents got me. You know, my mama prayed for me. Yep, she prayed for me last night. I was out drunk and she prayed for me. And I'm going out tonight again to get drunk. Mama prayed for me. I'm going to be out late tonight. You know, and that's how it's gotten. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to allow them to see this. Otherwise, they don't really believe. Until it's happened to them, they don't really believe.
And you know what? You are so right. You know, I had another brother to say to me, you know, her daughter was killed by a drive-by, Tanara Jones' daughter. And Tanara said to me that everybody and their mama know how close my daughter and I was. That was my best friend. She said, but you know what? She said, God had a way of showing me that you don't love nothing more than you love me. And I'm so glad that you said that, because that's so true. And she can accept the fact, you know, it's still hard on her because losing a child is hard. But she said, but God has showed me that you don't love nothing more than you love me.
Yeah. 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 And that's what he says in his word. Hey, Mish.
Hi, Pastor. I'm here.
Okay. Your line is open, dear. But, yeah, okay. He does. He says that in his word. And, you know, I've actually, for those that really know me, you know, my husband, Pastor Michelle, you know, y'all, Mish, y'all, you guys, the keto, y'all, you know, y'all really know me. And sometimes, you know, I can think real deep on things. And so I have been thinking a lot about, you know, God, why are there so many people that have been raised in the church, and then, you know, now they're growing up and they are, again, I'm not talking about the backsliders. I'm talking about those that are denouncing the faith and coming against those that still believe, and, you know, and because I see it so much. I see it so much. And, you know, even when we're raising them in the church, we have to remember to raise our children to have a relationship, not in religion, not in tradition, but in relationship. And that starts by them seeing that with us. Because once, you know, when you have a relationship with somebody, like I have a relationship with my husband, there are just some things nobody's going to come and tell me about my husband. Because when I have that relationship with him. I spend time with him. I know him. I know his character. I know, you know what I'm saying? And so when you, when we have that relationship with Christ like that, I don't care what people try to come and tell you. When you got, you have that relationship, when you have that experience, they're just things that people just can't come and tell. I don't care. I don't care what they try to come and tell me. You just can't tell me nothing. You just can't come and tell me. I don't care about this picture that we know is not of Jesus. We know Jesus wasn't white. We know he wasn't blonde hair and blue eyed. But that we know that. But what does that have to do with my right now relationship? Because right now, he's already died on the cross. He already died. He's already been resurrected according to my faith, according to what I believe. He's in spirit form now, back in spirit form, sitting at the right hand of Christ. I mean, of God, being an advocate for me. So I'm not worried about that blonde head, blue-eyed picture. You know what I'm saying? That's the, to me, all of that is a distraction. And so I do think that we have to focus more on relationship, more on relationship. Mm-hmm. And when someone has a true experience, I don't understand why it would be so easy to just say, oh, because I just, you know, just don't believe it, that he's not real anymore. God has shown, has done so much for me. I'm just talking about Kwajalein now. He has, you know, there have been things that I have been thinking about dealing with just with myself. He's done this with Pastor Michelle. He did this just last week when I was on the way to have a test, you know, and he has revealed things to people that didn't even know what was going on with me. He just revealed it to them, and I've gotten a call, you know, and they're telling me the things that only God could have revealed to them. Just only God could have revealed it. No, nobody else revealed it. So, no, you can't tell me that because I have a relationship, and that's just what it is. And so we have to ensure that this is what we're displaying to our children. We are teaching them, you know, the word, and we are being that example, you know. And hopefully that will hopefully more of us will do that. Does anybody else have anything? What'd you say, Faye?
I said, me for one, have to say thank you. Thank you, God, because I have a relationship with him and I know he's real.
Yeah. And that makes the difference, you know.
Yeah.
That, like I was telling Kenny, you know, Jeremiah is adopted, true enough, but nobody can come and tell me he's not mine. You know, right. Nobody can tell. His biological mama can come along, and I hope they meet one day and have a little relationship and all that kind of stuff. She carried him for 9 months, but she can't even tell me that. She can't tell me that. You know what I'm saying? She just can't. That's my child. That's mine and my husband's child. We have raised him. We are instilling things. You just can't tell me that. That's it. You can tell me I didn't biologically have him. I already know that, but that's about all you can tell me. You can't tell me too much. You can't tell me that he's not mine. And so, you know, we have to be steadfast in that and teach our children the same thing.
Amen. That's good. But just talking about raising our children, we really have to show our children that even in the face of adversity, God is still present and He's omnipresent. He knows your beginning. He knows your ending from your beginning. You know, He knows what you're going through, what you're getting ready to go through, and what you've been through. And we have to tell our kids and show our kids, you know, that relationship is very important. Now you're gonna have friends that are gonna have people that you're gonna encounter at school that's gonna come about and they're gonna try to get you to change who you believe in. And you know, contrary to popular belief, most people will say that they don't believe in God. Most people will say they don't believe in God, they believe in a higher power. Many people will say that. Many people will say, thank you, dear. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that on national air. I appreciate that, baby. But most people would say that, you know, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. But the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, it says, do not be misled, for bad company corrupts good character. And here's how we need to explain this to our children, because a lot of people will take that scripture and they'll manipulate it to mean something else. But here's what that scripture is saying. And then callers, if you're listening, streamers, if you're listening in right now, again, that scripture is 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. But bad company corrupts good character. When we are at the point, our children are going to come across all types of different nationalities that do and believe in everything under the sun. But the corrupting it is when our kids start to be misled because they're not being taught properly. And the word says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If our children are not being taught, if they're not being led right, if they're not being taught the word, if they're not, you know, being fed this word on a regular, then when it comes down to it, it's somebody that could come in, you know, it could come in and tell you, man, Jesus ain't real. Just like you know, the serpent tried to do with Eve, trying to let Eve know, well, he didn't say you would die, but, you know, you just give it a try. And sometimes, you know, that corrupting the good character of a child, the child be like, man, you know, my mom and dad taught me it's not good to smoke. Oh, man, you just taking a little hit. Come on, man, quit tripping. Loosen up a little bit. And then they take a hit, and now they're addicted to drugs. Or they mess around, and they're hanging out with people, as my wife mentioned earlier, that steal or breaking cars or breaking houses. Knowing that they don't do that, but just the very fact, the very thought of them hanging out with these people, now their character is being corrupted, and people are looking at them. Now they're being labeled. But, see, the fact of the matter is, We compromise on certain things, but when it comes to God, we can't do that. And when it comes to our children and their future, because they are the future of America. And when it comes to our kids, we need to make sure that we're protecting what they believe in. We're protecting their mind. We're protecting their hearts, and we raise them according to God's holy and biblical scripture. And when we're doing that, no man can come between what they believe in when it comes to them having a true relationship with God the Father, knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins and that he rose on the third day, and them being saved. People always say that once saved, always saved. It's a cliche. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of our youth today. They're not living on word. They're living on traditional cliches that have been passed down from generation to generation. And these traditional cliches, once saved, always saved. You know, and that's not true. The Bible speaks about a great falling away, but yet not many people are preaching that, not many people are teaching that, because they're afraid of what people might say about them. We need to be strong in the faith. We need to be, according to Romans 1:16, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of it. And I'm not preaching to y'all, but my biggest thing is we're raising our children according to God's word, and we just have to just continue to pray for our children, because this world out here that we live in, it's here. This is what we're in. We're living in it, but we're not of it. And as long as we continue to raise our children right, I'm foolish enough to believe that as long as we're raising our kids according to God's word and we're continuously going before the throne of grace for our children, God will protect our children.
Okay. That's good, babe. Anybody else have anything? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Adriana. So
I have a young child who's 4, going on five, and this is the dilemma that I'm in currently. Do I send him to public school, or do I keep him continually going to a Christian school? Like, a part of me wants to keep him in a Christian school so he can still be taught his Christian faith and stuff. And, like, at the school he goes to now, they do chapel every day. You know, they have scriptures, and they're learning, and they're actually being taught a relationship. Because a lot of what I've been hearing, I totally agree with tonight, because I may have grew up in the church, but while I grew up in the church, it was just really just routine. Like, we're going to church, you got to get up and go with your grandmother or whatever, but we wasn't learning anything as a child. So now with my child, I want to teach him about God. I want him to have his relationship, and I want to set the foundation early. That way, whenever he does go to a public school, when he's in, like, high school or something like that, then he'll have that foundation, and he'll be able to make that decision on his own and make better choices, because he has his own relationship with God, and he knows him for himself versus living off of your grandmother's prayers. So I know in schools now they're taking a lot of stuff out of the textbooks and stuff, so they're not learning about God, and they're learning about the Big Bang Theory, but how much protection is too much protection? Because I only have one child. I know some people up here may have more than one, and I just want to, I don't even want to let them go anywhere without me being there. So a Christian environment for me would be ideal, you know, if it's affordable, because I know I can't teach him myself with homeschool because I don't have the patience. So for the parents on the line too, if you do have them in public school, how are you continuing to set that foundation for them to where they'll, you know, won't stray away and know what the other kids say? Because even when we come home to visit family, you know, these kids over here jujuing on that beat and whoop whoop nay nay, my baby don't know anything about it because I haven't exposed him to it. So he's like, "Mommy, what's this?" You know, and I'm like, "Where did you learn that from?" "Oh, my cousin Duty and Bookie doing it." You know, so I don't know. I'm struggling to find that balance. Everybody calls me the drill sergeant mom because I guess I'm just too protective and I won't expose him to a lot. So does anybody else have that problem?
Well, actually, that's, you know, that was what we were, you know, starting off talking about. You know, finding that boundary, because we have 3 kids. Our oldest is 10, our middle son is 4, and then we have a 2-year-old. And right now, the 2 youngest ones, they go to a preschool program like just 3 hours a day. You know, one goes 3 days a week, the other 2. But our oldest son, he's in public school right now. My desire is for all of them to be in a private Christian school. But we can't afford it. You know, my husband's the only one that's working, and so we can't. So we do have – that's exactly what we run into with our oldest son. He comes home jujuing on that beat, just like you said, you know, all of that. And, like, my husband, you know, he's in the military. He's an instructor. He works with a lot of young soldiers. Like, Kenny is on top of what's going on. You know, he's the drill sergeant, not me. He's the drill sergeant. He's the private eye, you know, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, no, I'm telling the truth. No, I'm telling her the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's him. You know, Jeremiah trying to sneak stuff in his book bag, sneaking to school. You know, it's my husband that finds that stuff. It's usually not me because he gets over on me. I'm going to say that quiet so he won't hit me. But he does. He gets over on me way more than he gets over on Kenny. But Kenny knows all of that stuff. I mean, there have been times when Jeremiah will just talk over my head because he knows I don't know what's going on. But we do struggle with that because we're trying to raise him in a different way. So how do we do it? We pray. We continue to talk to him. You know what I'm saying? We do. girl, I'm telling you, I'm a praying sister, honey. If I never was before, getting married and having children would make you a praying somebody. You hear me? We pray. We talk, girl, talk. try to, you know, be that example. But, you know, we're still struggling trying to find the balance ourselves. You know, I'm not going to say we had the answers because we don't. Our oldest is just 10 years old, you know, and so, but that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing to try to keep him grounded. Now, is he protected from everything like he was? You know, when he was little, we were in Texas, the same thing. He was in a Christian academy. It was great. The same thing you just said. They learned scriptures. They learned how to worship. You know, all of that. It was great. But then when we got orders to go to Colorado, we couldn't find that. And so that was his first time going to school. It was still Bible-based, but it wasn't like, you know, the one where they taught the worshiping and all that. But it was Bible-based, so it was cool. But then when we left Colorado, we went to Germany. It was a military school, so it was better. We had our, you know, our church and everything, and like Pastor Michelle was describing, you know, the kids were together. So that was better. But here, he has none of that. The church we attend here, there are no kids, which that's a whole nother story. But, right, you know, the church that we're attending now, I'll put it that way, they have no kids. And, you know, and all of his friends, they don't go to church. And so he definitely struggles. And so we just, you know, I talk to Jared. Well, Kenny talks to him a lot, too. But we communicate with him a lot. We talk to him a lot about, you know, not allowing anybody to take away what he knows about God, about Christ. Don't allow anybody to take that away from you. It don't matter what, you know, what other people say. We're very real with him, Jeremiah. He knows about adultery. He knows about fornication. You know, he's 10 years old. We were growing up, you know, we didn't have to know that stuff that young. He knows about cussing. He knows about homosexuality. You know, we talk to him about all of these things. We teach him, you love. You know, we're not doing all that bashing. That's not what we do. We stand on the word of God, but we do it in love. So we teach him all of these things, but we have to be very real and very raw and very open with him, because this is a real, raw, open world. You know, your baby's not at that stage yet, but I would just say, you know, if you can, if it's affordable and you can keep him in, if that's your preference, which, like I said, that's what I would love to do, then do it while you can. And if not, you know, pray, just continue to teach him right, you know, be that model, you know, and do, you know, have him in church and just continue to do that, because we can't keep them from everything. You know, one day he's going to grow up and there are going to be some things that you're just not going to be able to keep him from. And it's sad that it's that way, but that's how it is. You know, I love this age. You know, like your baby's young. I look at my other two, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, they still innocent. And, like, Jeremiah, he goes to middle school next year. And I'm like, man, middle school? You know, that's really when they learn a lot of stuff, you know, going into middle school. But it's just some things we just can't stop. But if you can keep your baby in a Christian school right now, and that's good for him, and he's growing in God and growing in the Word, if that's what you can do, I would say do it as long as you can. That would be my opinion.
Just a caveat on that is, no matter what you do to try to protect your kids or to shelter your kids from certain things, they're going to hear about it anyway. If you keep them in a Christian school, you know, that's great, but they're going to have cousins to go to public school. You know, they're going to have friends up and down the street to go to public school. So basically, you know, that basically it falls out like what Pastor Quaslin said, you know, you, the parent, have to, you know, reinforce the teachings that they're getting, you know, by reading the Bible, listening to their scriptures and everything like that. Because if you don't, it pretty much just goes away, because they're constantly hearing all this, you know, they're constantly hearing all this ungodly stuff from their friends and their little cousins and stuff like that who don't go to these schools. You know, if you're not reinforcing what they're learning in school, then you might as well not even waste the money.
That is so very true. This is Tomasa. I actually worked at a Christian academy for a while. I worked with kindergartners, and I also worked with middle schoolers. And classroom time was one thing, but when we went to the after-school care, it was very similar to when I was working with the public schools, the conversations that were being had, the things that they were talking about. So I agree with what the brother just said, is that it really starts at the home, and that's where the foundation is. I remember when I was in school, I went to a very diverse school. There wasn't a lot of African-American history taught, so my parents made it a point to make sure that they taught me my history, to the point when I was in a history class, the teacher tried to tell us that Africa was, or Egypt wasn't in Africa, and I had to tell her in the class, wait a minute, Egypt's in Africa? So I think that the teaching at home is very important, and I think they watched. The things I would hear them talk about that they would see at home, they repeat, like, everything, and they tell almost everything. So they're very observant, and they watch how their parents interact with other people. And my understanding from just observing them, that had a lot to do with how they interacted with the other children. And I say that to say because one would hope and think that them going to a Christian school would prevent them from being exposed to all of those things, but it really doesn't. They were having literally the same conversations a lot of the students that the students when I was doing the after-school care at the public school were having after school. And I was like, why are y'all talking about this? Like, y'all shouldn't even be having this conversation. But I think that because the internet, you're able to access so much, they see all these different things. And like the gentleman said, that they see their friends in public school, they're on social media. So I just think reinforcing the foundation with things like Awana or other activities at a young age, when they're absorbing all of that information, because when they're very young is when they absorb everything. That's like the sponge stage where they are getting filled with the foundation that they'll use as they grow older, and then they want to do their own thing. So that's just my observation, because they're going to be exposed to it either way. So being able to help them absorb it and then leading by example as in the household, I feel is going to be the best way that they carry it out in the world when they are not around you and they're around other people in school. I could just see when the parents would come and pick up their kids, I could tell the difference between the kids that would cut up in after-school care at the Christian Academy than the kids that were very quiet and reserved and kind of to themselves. And it was just night and day when I would see the people who were coming picking up the certain children and just observing, because, you know, you had to take notes about your interactions and what you observe with children and things like that. In the after-school care programs and things like that. And even in school, during classes, we had to take notes and observe their behavior. So that would just be my 2 cents on that.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Keto. And thank you, Adriana. Is it Adriana? Right?
Yes, ma'am.
For the question. Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you, guys. And Tomasa, thank you for, you know, enlightening us on, you know, by you working in the school, because, wow, yeah, well, I guess you don't get away from it. And so, you know, that's the thing. We want to make sure we uphold the standard, but understand at the same time, you know, that they. We live in this world, and you know, it's unfortunate, but it's going to happen like it did with us. You know, I thank God that I had a praying mom. She taught us the right way, but I did my little thing. I'm not going to say my little thing. I did my lot of things. You know, I did my lot of things. But I thank God for his grace. Completely opposite of what my mom taught me. Knew it was wrong, but I did it, you know, completely opposite. But I did come back. I did come back, and I thank God for where I am now. And so, you know, we just have to make sure that we just continue to pray, and just to know that nothing is too hard for God, and to really, you know, cast those things upon him, because there's not really, you know, a lot that we could do to keep him from being exposed to a lot of things in this world. You had something, baby?
You had a question.
I had a question? Okay. My husband said, I don't remember the question. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say? Nobody? Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation on tonight. I have truly, truly enjoyed it. And, you know, I just encourage everyone, you know, for those of us that are parents, I know, you know, some of you guys got old kids, but all of us, we're still parents. Everybody's doing great. Continue to do your best. Continue to seek God. We can't be too hard on ourselves. Because we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to raise our kids right, to help them to be equipped for this world, and pray to God that we all, you know, get to heaven. So you guys doing great. Keep doing great things. Keep trusting God, and He will never lead us astray. He never will. So thank you guys for calling in on tonight. I truly appreciate it. For Tomasa and Adriana, I hope you guys do call back. Please do call back. We enjoy it on the conversations with us. And everyone else, we will be back Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully we'll hear from you guys then. Love you all.
Love you.